Welcome to Talking to Tobins, where sisters Karen and Heather share stories of trials and tribulations on this life journey.
Hello, everybody. Oh, the music's still going.
That's okay. It's fading out. You're good.
I'm good.
Keep talking.
It's the fade out. Hello, everybody. You are listening to Talking to Tobins, which was just explained. I am Heather Tobin, and hello to my sister, Karen Tobin. Hey, darling.
Hey, Heather. So,
how are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited to continue the story. So, I wanted
to start
the story of Heather. So this is a good one. It's funny because after the last show, well, it's not funny, but you know, it will be. Some parts of it are funny, but we will talk about that. But I wanted to start by saying that after the last show, I had a friend who said, "Hey, I listened to the show, really enjoyed it, but I have this question. Can you tell me again, what is it about?" So I think I want to reiterate that it is about going through tough stuff and hopefully inspiring people out there who may be going through hard times for whatever reason, could be, you know, whatever, you know, unexpected life event takes place, divorce, financial stuff, sickness, whatever it is, and just to inspire them with stories of, you know, people like you, Heather, people like us that are getting through it and how we're doing it. So that's kind of the gist. And if you listen last time, you'll know that we were talking about Heather's journey after a kind of sudden divorce. You know, it might have been sort of something that you thought was coming, but in the end it was a pretty sudden situation. Subsequent move in with me for 6 months down in the Mid-Atlantic, and then your journey back up north to rural Maine. And we left off, we were going to talk about, you know, your move, because you really are pretty much a pioneer woman, in my opinion. You're going up there. I mean, you are, you know, in the middle of, well, at the time it was October, right? So heading into a Maine winter on your own.
Yeah.
Driving up to Maine into a house sight unseen in a pretty rural part of the state to start over. And I don't know, man, I don't think like you could write a screenplay any better than this. So I think, you know, I wanted to kick off with, again, how you decided on this particular spot and then start with your journey north, which was filled with unexpected things.
Chaos, you know?
Yeah.
it's that saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. You know, when I was living with... yeah. So I decided, you know, last week we talked about sort of the getting the divorce and everything. And then living with you, which was fantastic for 6 months. But I knew that it couldn't be... I knew that it couldn't be forever because, you know, so it was time to make a move. You know, being the ever impulsive person that I am, Karen, you have to agree with that. Yes.
I've seen some impulsive moments. Yep.
I've seen some very impulsive moments. I think for me, it was about having a place again that I could call my own and actually scaring myself. I kind of was like, you know what? Let's see if I can be courageous. So basically I was looking at houses that I could afford, and we're talking, you know, all those fixer upper, you know, the big thing now is like buying like dilapidated homes and making them better. And it's like a huge movement, you know, there are blogs everywhere about that. So I was looking at everything all over the, and I found this place in Maine and the mm-hmm. journey up. And so, you know, I told you, I said, hey, I'm moving to Maine. What part of Maine? I'm like, yeah, no one's ever heard of it. You know,
the middle of Maine.
the middle of northeast corner, you know, kind of near Canada. I say that I live in a suburb of Canada, but basically, yeah, I kind of do. And so I kind of just kept coming across this house, this farmhouse, which, you know, looked kind of, I'm sure in retrospect, it probably was pretty dilapidated looking, but I was like, oh my God, I can afford it. I'm just going, packing up the cats, I'm going up. And that's really how I did it. It was sort of just like that. Because I remember, you know, I remember talking to you. I'm like, dude, I'm going to Maine. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, no, I remember you saying that it's kind of like Under the Tuscan Sun, only without the Tuscan sun, and instead the Maine winter.
the Maine winter.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you obviously, you know, being from New England, it wasn't a far, you know, fetch thing to go back up north. I know that you weren't crazy about the hot summers in the mid-Atlantic, so it made sense. Of course, obviously, as your sister, I was definitely concerned just because, you know, obviously, it's always a risk. It's always a risk to go anywhere and to do it alone, and you weren't, you know, too long out of the situation with the divorce. But,
oh God,
no. At the end of the day, support you, and
you're so,
you know,
good.
You, well, no, I mean, here's the thing, right? It's scary. It has taken me many years to get comfortable driving from mid-Atlantic all the way up to New England, you know, alone, and I was just really impressed that you were going to take that on, and you had a smart plan. You're going to break it up into three chunks, but
yeah.
Then, yeah. You know, it was sort of like the unexpected situation.
Oh.
If you want to talk a little bit about the trek up there.
I will. It was cool. You know, I, being, of course, weird as always, I always like to book interesting, like, Airbnbs, like, on the way. And so instead of going up 95, you know, through all the traffic, I took the westerly route. Because I didn't want to go through New York. I'm actually terrified of driving through cities.
So I'm not alone. Yeah. New York.
New York, and exactly. Jersey. You know, even all of it. Forget about it. You know, so basically I chose the western route. And so I went up through like Amish Pennsylvania, you know, and I stopped at an Amish place and, you know, and then yeah. that was great. You know, got a whole bunch of Amish dumplings. What I didn't realize is that you're supposed to cook them. I just ate them raw. Like, God.
Nice. That's good. You didn't get dysentery or something, so you were able to continue.
I felt a little rough. But the first stop, it was an Airbnb. It was sort of advertised as sort of this Airbnb. But what it turned out to be was a commune. I'm there, and it was great. I felt like I'd walked onto like the set of Woodstock, you know.
Yeah, I remember you telling me. I remember you checking in,
and you know, it was great. It was like homeschooling on steroids. It's awesome, you know, and just it was really cool. It was peace, love, and understanding, and it was just beautiful, and people had yurts and tents, and people would spontaneously just play instruments. It was just very interesting.
No, it was cool. I just remember this because I was tracking you too. You know,
yeah,
we had the Life 360 app where we could sort of track each other. You know,
yeah.
So I was wanting to keep an eye out for you on this trip because, you know, obviously, just concerned for you making all that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
on your own.
Yeah. On my own. Yeah, no, you were so good. Yeah, so I stopped there, and that was really peaceful. I mean, I think it was lovely, because really, it was sort of like literally going back in time. You know, it was really a beautiful experience. It was very crunchy, and you know, it was awesome. And then from there, I drove up to you know, upper state New York. You know, I was like in Newburgh, New York. And that was beautiful too. I mean, just the mountains and, you know, the whole kind of like the Hudson River Valley up there, around there. It's just gorgeous. And this wasn't, you know, this was sort of the tail end of autumn, of October.
Right.
And so that,
right.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I stayed at this beautiful interior designer's Airbnb, which was remarkably cheap. And it was just kind of like taking in everything and just sort of wanting to take in the beauty of autumn and watching all of the foliage driving up from Maryland was gorgeous.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to add, you know, because just being someone who was concerned for you, you know, for everything we talked about in the last episode, hearing these reports from you daily were really helpful because I was very concerned, you know, and it was making me feel really good to hear that you were happy, having these good, beautiful experiences. And, of course, you know, I'm kind of setting up for what starts to happen next.
Right.
It changed.
It changed. It got bad. It got bad. Let's face it. And that's the thing. You know, I'm checking in and remember, and I'll say this to sort of preempt what's coming. I had chosen Maine because, you know, it's the second safest state in the country. So
right, which I think it still is. It still is.
No, it still is. Know. Still is. We know we're leading up to. It still is. It is, you know. It really is. But, yeah. So, I mean, here I was in these bucolic scenes, and I'm just, like, driving and listening to Grateful Dead and just, like, taking a leisurely, wonderful. And then the next stop was cut over to Vermont. But what I did start to notice is that the more north I got, the foliage was starting to sort of thin out. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going into winter.
Sure.
I'm heading in. It's like winter. Winter hits like in October in Maine. It really does. I mean, it really does, especially up in northern Maine. And I was like, whoa, man, this is, you know, just, I noticed that it went from that glorious thing to all of a sudden like, looking kind of wintry around here. I'm like, uh-oh.
So you're on your third night, and you're in Vermont, correct? At this point?
Yeah, I was Brattleboro, Keene.
Okay.
Brattleboro, Keene. I stayed in Keene, yeah.
That's right.
Third night. And then I got food poisoning. I was violently ill, and I'm sick, and I'm in this inn. I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah, because this is where... You must have, because you remember, we're checking every day with you. I think I'm pretty sure you had gone to sleep. And that's when I saw the news at around 10 or 11 p.m.
Oh, my God.
And this is really tragic. There was just trigger warning for anybody. We're going to talk about, you know, the mass shooting that took place in Maine. That came on the news. And I'm seeing this and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you are headed that way exactly. And...
Yep.
I'm kind of like in my head thinking you're not up there yet, but you're headed that way. And I just wanted to reach you to just make sure you were feeling okay. I knew that you weren't there, but you weren't answering. And I figured you were sleeping, but it was sort of like, okay, wow. So why imagine you kind of wake up and you see the news and you realize that there is this tragic event unfolding almost exactly on your path. Yeah.
Well, here's what happened exactly. You had called. I had gotten all of these calls. I was asleep. I had turned my ringer off. You know, I was so tired, you know, from driving and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm getting, my friends are calling and they're saying, are you safe?
Right,
are you safe in Maine? Because he's still on the loose. This is the guy, again, trigger warning, that horrible mess. tragic shooting in Lewiston. He was, no one knew where he was. And that was terrifying. And, I woke up to this. I woke up to the news from you. I woke up to, and I'm like, oh my God, it was like all these friends had called saying, are you safe? And I'm like, what's going on? Of course I'm safe. I'm going to Maine. Oh, my God. It just felt like a, you know, it was just so devastating for those people. But it's interesting, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, my God, do I go to Maine now? Because this guy is at large, and they had all of the stopping points because I was going to drive, you know, right, you know, up to Lewiston, up north. And I ended up sort of staying an extra night, and, you know, that didn't fit into the budget because, you know, I'm on a shoestring budget. And I was kind of camping out in the Vermont Keene area before I, you know, went up because I was scared. Scared. It's scary as a single woman. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, are you even kidding me? I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And again, you know, more so for just the tragedy that happened, those poor people. So that was jarring, I have to say, Karen. You know, that was when,
oh yeah,
you know, all of a sudden the mood just kind of changed, you know.
Yeah.
It did.
Oh no, I mean, it was like such a dark shadow over what had started off to be this sort of peaceful and fun journey.
Oh, peaceful. It was like,
and then you kind of end up in this sort of horror show of a situation. And I think what it took, what you definitely had an extra couple of days until it was resolved, until that they found the person, and you know,
they found him, and you know, but no, I stayed in southern Maine. It's just, you know, because again, the roads were being monitored, and it was just scary. And I think it was sort of coupled with having that juxtaposed with making a very big move and having go again, such a switch. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm thinking, I'm moving up to this town where I know no one, into this house. And so then, you know, I continued up, and, you know, I had been here before because the closing was in August. But, you know, I hadn't been there for a while. And it came up one other time before I made the final trip up here. But still, you know, I arrive at this house alone, you know, on the porch. And you know, the house needs a lot of work. It needs a lot of work. I think I had some rose-colored glasses on when I bought it. It's buyer's impulse, and then it's buyer's remorse.
Well, look, you know, I mean, I think anytime you buy a place, I mean, whether or not, you know, you think it's perfect or not or whatever, I think, you know, 9 out of 10 times people are going to find things, if it's an older place, which it is.
Oh, yeah.
That 1900. Are wrong. Now, you might have found more than the average. You know, so you get into, like, to the next phase after getting through this harrowing trip up. You began over the following weeks to find out just how much was wrong with the house, right?
Everything.
And I remember the calls. I remember a lot of calls, you know, just, you know, about...
the middle of the night.
Yes. Structural issues and... the doors. I think that was the first, like, major issue.
Well,
right?
Yeah. I was like, first of all, you know, they went down. This is the thing, too. Sometimes when you get a house, there are things you don't know about. But basically, the entire foundation, the beams had all been eaten up by post beetles. So basically, it munched the entire whatever was holding up the house. I found out later it was like one stone that was placed in the middle of the, you know, and literally I could have fallen through the floor. I found out that some of the less than honest people that had worked on the house when I was gone failed to put subfloor. People out there, look it up. Subfloor. You need it. And what they did, they just put the flooring, the vinyl flooring over it. And so all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, there's like holes in it. The hell is going on? You got to be kidding me. And in the kitchen, which it still is this way, it reminds me of Ronald Weasley's home in Harry Potter, where everything's crooked. Well, that's this house. It's completely crooked. It'll probably always be crooked. But yeah, and
so, you know, before you even get to the door, I mean, I just want to ask you, I mean, well, first of all, just, yeah, say, I mean, you found out you could not open the front door until it gets replaced because it would collapse, right?
No, we have to laugh. Oh, my God. Let me tell you. First, I was hysterical. Now I just laugh. I'm like, uh-huh. Yep. I went to open the door, the front door, because I was thinking when I had bought the house, they're like, yeah, we just never used the front door. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just use it when I get up there. Oh, no. What's happened is all of the casement, I'm learning all these terms. You know, it's one thing I'm learning is architectural terms. Let's see, the sill underneath completely rotted through. The windows that sort of frame the door. It's a beautiful door, but the door itself is nice. But everything around it is rotted.
Sure.
So I went to open it. Like, the guy was there, one of the workers, like, don't do it. He goes, you're basically going to lose your entire front of your house is going to fall down. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, and what I thought of was the movie Money Pit with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
When he's like in the rug because he falls to the floor. And I'm just like, this is me. This is me. I have just bought the Money Pit house. Just not as big, but pretty, seriously, very bad. Very bad.
As you're going, I just want to, you know, just for people, like, we're laughing about it now because this is roughly 6 months ago and you've been dealing and you've been learning. But how did you really feel at that moment? I mean, with all that going on.
I felt like dying. Yeah. I felt like dying. I felt like, I felt like, you know, they're beautiful mountains in the distance. And I felt basically like driving up to one of those mountains and driving off. I felt like pulling a Thelma and Louise. Honestly, I was in despair. And also, I arrived, and I swear to God, it was not only was it past prime with like the leaves and autumn's falling, there were no leaves left. There were no leaves left because I get there.
Yeah,
and it's winter. I just left just a few days before in beautiful Maryland where it was sunny and beautiful and the flowers, and all of a sudden I'm in winter and the house is a disaster. It is a disaster from the inside, from the outside, upside down, right side up. Disaster.
Yeah. Oh God. And you have the cats. The cats, all the, you know, the cats have made it up there with you. And
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. And so they're a little freaked out because they're in a new place. And I immediately had issues. I mean, everything. It's hilarious. I have my microwave in the dining room to this day. Until that's all fixed, because the entire wiring system needs to be completely redone. So we're talking about money that I had to dump into this place that was supposed to be my savings. Lost it all. So
not lost, reinvested.
Reinvested. Yes. It's going to take a little bit of time. Yeah. Oh, God. No. I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, it's. And again, the house. Right now, I mean, I have some rooms I've done that I've made pretty and, you know, they look nice, you know, and the porch was reconstructed because it was literally falling apart. I mean, this place, it's out of a horror movie. But
well, you know, so I think it's important to, I mean, just for the purpose of this, you know, talking about getting through, it's been 6 months roughly. since you arrived in Maine and you've been there. And so how do you think, I mean, where would you say the house is now, and what were the major sort of...
What's better?
And we know this. Come on. I know you. I've seen beautiful pictures. You've done a beautiful job because you're very good at decorating and refinishing stuff. But, you know, through this craziness, you found a wonderful person to help you fix things who's honest. And this is like really, this is tough, right?
Yeah.
It's not always easy to find a good person that you can rely on who can actually give you honest pricing and honest assessments. And you went through a few people who weren't quite that, but you found a guy.
Exactly. I went through a lot. I found this wonderful young man, Ron, who is, he's like a genius. He's like a genius IQ. And, you know, I through Facebook and stuff, I found, you know, the community, the little town community page. And he just is a doll. And he was like the first, also the former owner is wonderful too. I have to say, even the house is a disaster. You know, he knew the house was a disaster. And he said, look, I didn't have what it took to put into having to fix his house up. Why I had to sell it. So I'm like, oh, okay. But he, you know, it was the kindness. And it started with that kindness where I knew at least there were, you know, here I am. I know no one. I'm 3.5 hours away, which maybe doesn't seem like a long time, you know, from our hometown. But let me tell you,
it is.
I mean, I'm closer to Quebec City than I am, you know, our hometown. So, you know, and it can feel, I felt the isolation. I'm like, oh, God. And it's only, you know, it's only like October, beginning of November. But the kindness, you know, and everything, I was calling this poor guy at all hours. I'm like, the oil burner just like, I think it blew up. I had the fire department come because I smelled fire. I thought I smelled, you know. One thing too, one of the less than good people, there were live wires, like just hanging out. So at any point I could have been electrocuted. I mean, it's a disaster.
Oh, God. It is like a movie.
It was like a movie. It was a disaster because the people that came and painted, what the thing is, when they took all the furniture out, but then they didn't put it in right. Including things like appliances, and there's a live wires. Things were ripped out. There were broken windows. I'm like, what in hell is going on? And I'm all alone. I'm like,
no, and like, meanwhile, the people that you got to know here are like, how's Heather doing in Maine? I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's when I still do. I miss that community down there, and I miss you, and I miss, honestly, I miss the weather. Sure, I was complaining about, you know, it's because of menopause and I have hot flashes. That's why I can't tolerate heat, and I'm heavier than I should be, and you know. But it was, so I'm up here, and I just remember calling you and Karen, and this is what I would say, like every day, or, you know. I am in hell. I am in hell. Remember that? Hell.
Yeah.
Hell.
And, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things where every day I was sort of tracking you and tracking where you were. And what I did notice is that it was a place, well, you know, look, always trying to be positive because it's a place that's kind of going through a regeneration in its own right. Like this, the town that you're near has a lot of money being invested into the downtown. There's a riverfront, and it's sort of like
you
come into this little place at a time where there's going to be a lot of growth, and you're part of it, but it's not easy. It's like, it's not one of those places that people discover because, oh, it's so cute and cool to be here now because people have come in and made it that way. You are part of the grassroots, like, we're going to make
grassroots.
This great. But it's not easy. And it's almost sort of by coincidence, because I don't think you even knew that. And so I think every time you would call and tell me that it was hell, I would be like, but look what's going on downtown. They're going to have a Yeti hunt. I mean,
I know that there was a, I know. I mean, seriously, I love, you know, Yeti hunts. That's fantastic. You know, and you were terrific. You were like, you were like my remote tour guide. Because I was like cowering in my crazy house in fetal position going, what have I done? And you were saying, hey, they're trying to, by the way, in the background, sorry, I also
saw your puppy.
Yes, that was another huge, wonderful, on a wonderful note. But yeah, no, there's an incredible revitalization, and in a rural area, entrepreneurship is very important because, you know, there's some chains, but not a lot of chain stores. And what I've noticed is that, you know, it's about community. And as I have gotten to know people and have made friends, wonderful friends, I'm realizing that it's about the place, so it is revitalizing. And I'm realizing that behind that, you know, you say the word revitalization, it's about people and their passion and their love and their, you know, desire and ambition to make this place better, you know, to help, you know, to help people that are dealing with poverty. And so, you know, it's been a real awakening. And what I've noticed is just how many people with so little give so much up here. I'm really noticing those perks there.
And this is the part that I still feel just feels like a movie script because, you know, I've watched shows and maybe people are familiar with shows like, what's that river one?
Virgin River. Oh, River on Netflix.
Yeah, and, you know, and there are others where, you know, it's the old story of someone going up into this, leaving maybe a more densely populated, obviously, in the D.C. or metro area, to go up to a very rural place, and you wonder, oh, is it just a myth that, you know, you find these communities of super nice people, but, you know, you're literally living it, and I know how hard it is, and yet sometimes I found myself envious of the fact that you have... Well, yeah, because I think that, you know, when you read the news, you think that this doesn't exist anymore. You think that there's nowhere to go where you can actually get a place. I mean, granted, you have to do a lot to it.
But
where people are friendly, where it's, you know, again, that small town, that small community, you know, we'll talk about it, but you've gotten involved in some of the local entrepreneurial things, as you were talking about, and met some of the people. And these are, like, such super nice people, it sounds like, who...
Yes. Super nice. I think, you know, here's one thing. There's where I live, and I'm very glad, even though the house needs, basically so much work, but still, you know, little by little, I'm learning that I think, coming from sort of a more fast-paced place, whether it was down the D.C. area or being in the Boston area when I lived, or, you know, there, whereas, like, especially with the house, it's like there's a pressure, get it done, blah, 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 blah. We're here.
Right.
There's a new rhythm where it's like, you know what? I have to start over, really start over now too. I mean, I'm broke. I'm pretty much broke. And it's that take the time, you know, I think I just, my impatience, and that's sort of that Boston fast, or other, you know, other cities. It's like, slow down. Get your bearings, get the house fixed, like, get rid of the live wires. That might be nice. And, right? That's kind of
good start. Secure the foundation so you don't fall through the floor.
Yeah, and that's fixed. And then the porch is coming along. And you know, then the whole thing is, I have had to learn to be mindful and slow down. And what's great, what I love about here, I go to the post office and the postmaster, she's so lovely. She's just a sweetheart, and she laughs at me, when I was having to, get things for the house and, there are packages, and it was hilarious, and I make her laugh. And the corner store, that's like the news, where everybody goes to find out, like, old man Kurt, he hurt his back. Let's go get him. What they do is they have, this is so sweet. If they have not noticed you coming into the store, this is how sweet this is. Mm-hmm. Okay, you wouldn't see this in the city. They get worried, and they do a wellness check on people. Mm. So these are people at the store, And unfortunately, this was another very sad thing. Was I had a neighbor. He was so sweet. He was an older gentleman, and he passed away. Very sad. And the thing is, how people found out, though, very quickly, was that they noticed he hadn't been in for his morning coffee.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Everybody knows huge. Their name. It is. Yeah. I mean, tell me, like, most places, they might go, hey, how you doing? But to really, care about this community. Yeah. And then what they did was they had a collection there to help pay for funeral expenses for, his daughter and grandson. I mean, that's so kind. And it's so, and it goes back to too, when you're giving either of service or money for something like that, like my lovely neighbor who passed, it's like going back in time to a slower time with community. And I've grown to really appreciate that and rely on it, but also want to be someone who people can rely on too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, again, I'm so excited for you. And I know that it's easy for me to say, a little bit from a distance, but, I do get the notifications in my email, just like you, on all of the things going on in the town. And now knowing that you're part of the entrepreneurial group where you're actually working to learn how to launch your business in the community.
Yes.
I just see it like coming together so clearly, and seeing the summer as being this really incredible time where, the weather starts to match some of the other really great things about the area. And it's just...
It does.
It's exciting, and in knowing just what a challenge it's been to get from last year to now, because we're at the year marker for when you came down to be with me a little after, March. Yeah, and it's kind of incredible. I mean, it's just like a lot has happened in this period. And it's, things that, especially with the pain of the divorce, because I want to mention too that throughout all this, you've also been adjusting to being not with your ex-husband,
Yeah.
And I know that's been painful and missing that element.
Let me speak to that too, mm-hmm. I don't want to vilify. It's not that, but I will say, no, it wasn't an amicable divorce. I never can say that word correctly.
And understood.
And sadly, there has been that ongoing, it's just like I fell off into the abyss. And, to have someone that you thought cared for you for 20 years, all of a sudden, it's just gone. And they don't care. I'll be honest, they don't care.
I've witnessed what you've been through with that. Just reaching out for logistical things and being sort of
being treated cruelly. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And again, I wouldn't bash, but I will. but it's part of my story, so I'm going to be honest, because I know there are people out there listening that I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I had great expectations that this divorce process would be easy, but it wasn't. It's been brutal, and it continues post-divorce a bit. So it's about, what do I let go of? Because it's important, you know, and what can I, the more I let go of the bitterness, the anger, the sadness, the hurt, because it's all there. But the more I can let go of that, and also let go of people who, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, divorce, you know, we talked about last week, you lose people you thought you would never, ever, ever be without, in-laws, things like that. But sometimes you lose them, even though, you know, they're still alive, thank God. But, you know, you lose that family. But what I've noticed is, as I have let go with love, especially with in-laws and things, in this small town, it is replaced. You know, I'm not saying that they're replaceable. I love them. You know,
no, but I understand. There's the void that's left does get filled by other things.
It gets filled, and you have to. What I've learned is that while I was hanging on to, I mean, it's necessary. You know, first you have to grieve it, but finally going, okay, I've accepted that I may not ever see my in-laws again, which breaks my heart. But I wish them well, and I love them. But instead of holding on to it. It was starting to get to a point where I wasn't looking at what was right before me, you know, which have become lovely new friends and people that, if they know I'm having trouble, they show up at my door, you know.
Which makes me so happy.
I know, right? Even knowing that, because I love you. Thank you. Okay. It's like, I can't wait to interview you next time, because, you know, we've gone through so much. We've done this.
So it's like, as your sister, you know, you just worry so much about this. I mean, going up there by yourself, doing this on your own in a place you've never lived and been in, the greatest thing ever is hearing about the friends you're making and the kind people you're meeting. It's all anyone could want.
Honey.
You know. I mean, I think it's hard to even, you know, people who go through things like this at all, you know, we can talk about it, but, you know, you're talking about 6 months to a year of real intense, painful moments, as we covered last time. And, you know, here you are, you're still here, you're still doing it, you're in the process. And I think, you know, part of the reason I wanted to do this show with you is because I wanted to get at what keeps you going. I mean, what keeps you getting up another day, knowing that, you know, you've been through it. It could be a bad day. It could be a good day. Something's keeping you going. And I think that's what I want to understand.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'll tell you the first thing that comes to mind the minute I don't have to think, you keep me going. Yeah, my sister. I love you.
And it's the love of family and the people.
It's
the
love of family. My Steph, and your younger sister Steph, my nieces, you know, my parents, you know,
parents,
my aunt, uncle, my cousins, my friends. And the other thing, you know, this is, you know, one of the things that during the marriage, ex-husband didn't want me to ever have a dog. He was so against it. He used to get so furious. And I'm like, what? I just want a dog. We had a lot of cats. So I understand to his, you know, I understand
sure,
to his credit.
Sure.
I understand why. But I realized up here, you said, Heather, get a dog. And I hadn't had one since I'm a cat person. I love dogs too, but I had only had cats for the last 40 years of my life, you know. We had, with the family, had dogs growing up, but adopting, I ended up adopting two dogs. and I still have my kitty cats. God, I love them all. I think with dogs, for one, they're a great alarm system because people don't know how small they are. And and also, you know, they're an alarm system. But also, I think a dog really forces you to be present because they'll bark at you. And I really think that's helped to save me. And it's also made me want to volunteer again, you know, helping animals and people. It has reawakened my desire to help others. And what keeps me going is this innate knowing that I am here for a reason, whether how impulsive and psychotic it may have seemed, you know, with me getting here, the more it's sort of like a treasure. The more I dig, the more I start to explore. And with spring, although Friday, I guess we're getting a nor'easter and like 2 feet of snow, but
you're not getting spring yet, but eventually.
Yeah, exactly. We did today. Like today was 60, like beautiful and sunny. I'm like, oh my God. And you know, the daffodils are starting here too. You know, so the weather's crazy, but it's this opening up and hope and wanting also, and I'll be honest with you too, when you go through, and I'm going to talk about this little trigger alert here, when you go through any relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's, you know, whatever, with people, if there's toxicity to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if there's emotional abuse and gaslighting to a point where you have forgotten who you are, it is so important. And it's another reason why I keep going. In a way, it's not revenge. But in a way, it kind of is. It's like, yeah, you know, you told me I couldn't do this. You told me I was weak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was scared. I was afraid of my own shadow. Well, the hell with you.
Right.
Because I decided to do something brave when I was told for a very long time how unbrave I was. And so maybe there's a bit of anger that fueled me to do something that was different and outrageous. And again, a lot of people worrying, a lot of people thinking I'm, you know, crazy, impulsive, whatever, you know. But the point is that, you know, what is it? Helen Keller said, you know, life is either a bold adventure or nothing at all. So, you know, it's, and the other thing, Shawshank Redemption, because we're speaking of Maine, you know, I am. But what's the quote? Get busy living or get busy dying. That's goddamn right. So I made a choice. I made a choice to get busy living. And I'll tell you,
I was going to say, I just have noticed the creativity. I mean, you've always been creative, always making things,
so
always
have you,
doing
dude.
Things. But, you know, just the freedom of being able to decorate your rooms and paint your furniture and not have that sort of, you know, eye rolling, what are you doing aspect. You are free to kind of be you. And that's something that even with all this pain and difficulty, I love to see that part, you know, and as your sister, it's really exciting to see you return to kind of those things that got drowned out by the marriage, in my opinion, you know?
Well, you know, I'm sure he would agree. It was not a great marriage. Okay,
No, I think it's fair to say.
It was a brutal one, and I think, you know, you can't go backwards, but I think one thing I would say to people in the audience is that, God, if you're seeing red flags, or if you are afraid to stay, you're afraid to leave something, one thing I will say is time goes by fast, okay?
Yep.
We're talking about 2 decades, 20 years of my life, and I'm sure he's thinking this too. Like, why didn't we do this sooner? And I can say that with love too, and say that I do wish him well. You know what I mean? I don't think he wishes me well, but still, the point being is That's the truth. Oh, well, but the thing is that, yeah, you know, I get to wake up and not be criticized and not be, often with women, and I will, you know, I'm just going to say this to people listening. Don't let anyone, and it's very hard to do, but we must work so hard. And I think women go through this. I think men too, but women go through this. Sometimes we make ourselves so small to make other people comfortable. And in Maine, I decided I'm done with that. I'm 55 years old, and I am going to make myself bigger, you know, as a presence of hopefully good, and be active in the community and make a difference in people's lives up here. That's what drives me, you know, and doing all these things with you. And being, wow, and hopefully, great. Oh, thank you, sister. I mean, you know,
it's really important. It's really inspirational. And, you know, I can't believe it's already been almost an hour here, but I wanted to,
we're so good.
You know, as we wind down this episode, just to let people know that we'll be checking in with you every time to see how things are going, because this is an ongoing story. And as we start to bring guests in to talk about their experiences and things they've kind of gotten through and how they've gotten through them.
Including you.
My fun.
Yeah, next time, you know.
Yeah, we're going to delve into a little bit.
We're going to delve into, you know, yeah, I'm going to be interviewing you, my love. So I'm interviewing Karen. This is Heather, and I'm interviewing Karen. There's something so beautiful about it, isn't it, to interview each other?
I think when you just got to remember, I think, that you're not alone. I think that's the other part of this that's so important, is that I think we can feel the most isolated when we're going through these things. And the irony is that that's usually when we need to be reminded how many others are struggling through. You know, when we're doing better, you know, we don't need the reminder that, you know, other people are there,
right,
because you feel okay. But it's amazing just being able to hear that people make it through these acute periods of difficulty.
And
that it continues. It's not over, but I mean, I think it's going to be real exciting to hear what starts coming for you next, especially as summer comes and get involved, you start growing your business in that area. I mean, I just think, you know, again, you couldn't write the script. It's unfolding right in front of us. This is real time.
We can write it together. Well, you know, I think what's so beautiful about it too is that whatever business I do, you know, I make a lot of craft stuff, and I'm launching a business called Ms. Heather's of Maine. But it also ties into what you and I do with writing our books, and doing this podcast. And you are such a creative, beautiful force, as are your children. You know, that how I see it too is that, by being strong and we are, it's just a connection. It's about connection. And I met someone today. I mean, I went to the post office and made a new friend. It is about connection. And I also believe this too. I believe success. This is another thing I'll say too. I know we're wrapping. No, we still got a couple minutes. You know, Karen, I think one thing that we want to talk about too is we bring on people. The people that we're choosing, including you, to interview are people that have gone through hell and high water and all that stuff and have, you know, transformed themselves. There's a common denominator is that their success. We only interview kind people. Isn't that true? Think about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely people who, you know, I mean, you get a real sense of what success actually means. And that really is, as you brought up so beautifully, is about the connections you make and you know, the small gestures of kindness that can be enough to get someone through one of the worst days. And we all know that, you know, just one person doing something very small and nice can make or break a day.
It absolutely can. You know, real quick, I mean, I'll give you an example just real fast of the community here. I met this beautiful new friend, Ray. She's just the best at the corner market. I had a rough day on Easter because, you know, I used to have Easter with all my in-laws, and I missed everybody. And I was so sad, and, you know, I sort of canceled everybody. I was like, oh, no, I can't. I'm very depressed. I can't do it. And you know what? She said, I'll be there in 5 minutes, and you better answer the damn door. And she came perfect. In, beautiful girl, my beautiful new friend, Ray, and she brought me plants and Snickers bars. And, you know, and she said, sometimes you need a Snickers. It's like the ad. I'm like, you're right.
But absolutely.
As she came in, she was playing on her phone. She had queued it up, the song, Lean on Me. And we were singing, lean on me when you're not strong. We all need someone to lean on. And then I cried. I broke down and sobbed and hugged her because there was a soul sister that I met at the supermarket who she said, I know I've been through what you've been through. And guess what? I'm not going to let you fall. So she told me. That's it.
No, it's incredible. And that's it. I mean, again, as your sister, I just want to hug her when I meet her because it makes me really happy to know that there are these people looking after you while you're up there.
Oh,
not even you're
honey.
Doing fine. But, you know, I mean, that's it, right? You know, that's the concern. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
And, you know, again, too, you know, I worry about you, too. I had a hard time leaving you because no matter what, doesn't matter. You and Steph are always my little sisters. Even though, like, you're a mom and stuff, I'm like, I check and see like where you're going on the little thing too. I'm like, is she safe? You know, it's the same thing, you know, as a big sister, leaving your little sister, you know, always since you were little, you know, it's all about connection and love. And I think that's what helps us get through these, you know, and I look so forward to interviewing you because you've gone through a lot yourself, you know, and you have such strength and such grace, and I can't wait to interview him. I'm so honored that you're my sister. I'm very lucky to have you and Steffi. No, it's just the truth.
Well, I'm excited for, you know, just as I say, upcoming shows, you know, got some great people lined up who, you know, are doing all kinds of cool stuff. And
it's
going to be really fun to talk to them. Just wanted to get our stories out there so people kind of had a sense of where we're coming from and why we want to do this. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think like anything, what they say, all good writers start with what you know, write about what you know. And so I think that philosophy with the podcast is the same. We want to speak about what we know. And it's not like, you know, and then, you know, share our stories and then share the stories of others, you know,
do you have any last bits of advice for people at their darkest, you know, or their most, just when they're at the height of frustration?
You know, it's so, find one person or one pet or 10 pets, find one person and reach out and say, please, I need help in this moment. Can you help me? It's everything. I mean, like I said, you've talked me off the ledge my whole life. You're incredible.
Well, you've done the same for me.
Thank you. That's really it. My advice is that. And also, remember Janis Joplin's words about don't compromise yourself, okay? That you're worth it. And you know, daring to be brave. And it's okay to be afraid. You know, things do get better. You know, that's my advice.
That's an important thing. Just give it a little time.
Give it time. And also allow yourself to feel sad. You know, feel your feelings, but I think you don't blight them out. Don't don't shut people out too, because you never know who's around the corner who might change your life forever for the better. You know, and that's what I'm finding is spring is starting to peek through in Maine.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that part. I really can't wait.
It's going to be great. Going to fly you up, girl. But, oh, yeah. So, but no, I just want to say to you, I want to thank all the listeners out there, because we really appreciate you so much. And we really hope that you know, you can enjoy it for entertainment value, but hope you get little nuggets of hope and truth that can help you guys, because that's really why we're here too.
Yeah, and we'll end up laughing a lot about things that happen after the case. That's what we always do. But
how
hard it is when you're in the middle of it. It does sound funny now, though.
Oh, it does. I don't get it. The door collapses.
Just remember. Maybe it's a door that's going to collapse, but it's your door that's going to collapse.
That's it.
That makes all the difference.
It's still my freaking door. I mean, there's something so liberating about that. You know, it's my door.
Yeah.
I have a door that is like covered in green board. It almost looks like that green board that they use in the movies where, you know, when they do special effects, it's like, it's all boarded up. But guess what? One day, that door will be open, and it will be beautiful.
And there's no hurry. It doesn't have to be now, as long as you have another door.
Exactly.
As long as you have another door to get in and out of, you'll be fine.
Have another door. Exactly.
Just a side door.
Just a side door. Something, you know? I think that's it.
Yeah.
And also, a house can be a metaphor for us, too, you know? So that's our, you know, that's it. I'm trying to figure out if we're supposed to sign off, or I'm not sure. Good question.
No, we're still learning.
We're still here.
Cool.
Thank you gracefully. Oh, thanks, Dawn. You rock. Well,
yeah.
I just have to say, Karen, I can't thank you enough for interviewing me. What's that? Next time I get to interview you.
Yeah, so until next time. Yeah, oh, Lord, yep. So I'm going to get to my story. Woo!
Woo, yeah. I can't wait. Thanks to everybody. And check out all the shows on BBS Radio, because we got a great crew on bbsradio.com. Check them all out. We'll see you next time. All right, signing out. Arrivederci. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.